Welcome to the Property Profits Podcast. My name is Travis Wells, and I will be your host every single week. It is my job to bring on a specialist in every part of real estate, whether that be retail, big commercial, luxury, flipping, land, you name it. I cannot wait to introduce you to these people because there are masters at their craft out there. At the end of each podcast, my mastermind group will come on and Q&A with these people and ask real-time, real-life questions so that we can all learn. I cannot wait to see you on my podcast.
Well, thanks for coming on. Heard a lot about you from a few people. Wanted to get you on here so you could bless everybody with your knowledge. Who are you? What do you do? All that good stuff.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for the opportunity. Manny Castillo, based in Augusta, Georgia. I'm a realtor, a flipper, a wholesaler, a little bit of everything. I'm actually working to get my broker's license now. So in a month or two, I'll be a broker as well.
All around real estate badass.
Yes, sir. Trying.
Hell yeah. How'd you get started?
You know, I had rentals back in the day, but I bought them all the wrong way. You know, I bought them off the MLS. I used a realtor. You know, I was cashing on like $200 a month or something. And I was thinking, like, how do people become, you know, rich in real estate? How do millionaires, you know, become from real estate? And I eventually got away from it. And then fast forward a few years, buddy of mine was wholesaling. He explained what wholesaling was. He explained, you know, the freaking monster machine that he created. And I said, I need to look into that. And then looked into that and kind of discovered wholesaling and creative finance. And, you know, here we are now.
How many rentals did you buy the so-called bad way that you called it?
Yeah, the bad way. Probably like three or four.
Yeah. And what do you see? Just like the cash flow versus like the monthly payments. And then you have to figure
right
out, like, dude, why does this make sense?
Yeah, and this was before I knew about Burr. So, you know, I was dumping tens of thousands of dollars into these as down payment, 20% down, you know, or more at the time. And yeah, the cash flow was just like 200, 300 bucks. But now I have tens of thousands of dollars for each one. So it just didn't make sense to me. I'm like, you know, I'm going to put it all in the stock market and get rich that way. But, you know, obviously that's not the right answer either.
Yeah, I wish people would tell everybody that those kind of rentals are more for, you know, depreciation purposes. And when you have a ton of cash, do it that way.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, I wish we knew what we know now back then. Right. But we can't change yesterday, but we can change tomorrow.
So flash forward, you started doing wholesaling, figured out, you know what, this rental thing is to make money. And you're probably licensed realtor too, started wholesaling. Sure. How did the wholesale business start? What does it look like today?
So, it started grinding, right? I didn't know what is a list and how do I get these people's phone numbers? And like, it was a whole nother language. But you know, squatting up, help of others, little pieces here and there, kind of figured it out. And then, yeah, just hitting the phones, eventually got somebody that was interested, and then, okay, so proof of concept for myself. And then now how can I do this again, but maybe do it a little easier next time?
Yeah, that's cool. And do you have a team for wholesale these days?
Yeah. So I actually do very little wholesaling nowadays. I'm focusing more on getting that broker's license, and I've shifted to business acquisitions. So that's a whole nother thing. You know, we'll probably have to do another podcast for that. But yeah, at the peak of it, I had VAs in the Philippines and closers here. So essentially I would set everything up on, you know, multi-line dialers, have the VAs you know, call the list I gave them, and then have closers here close them essentially.
Yeah.
I would dispo them.
Yeah. Oh, you do the dispo?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people I talk to that built wholesale businesses kind of go to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you think that is?
Because wholesaling is great. you know, to get started. I look at it as like a starting thing. You can have your whole business model based on it, you know, and that's fine. But when you wholesale that house for $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, whatever that is, now you have to find the next house. Mm-hmm. And then you have to find the next one, right? Otherwise, the bills aren't getting paid in between. And depending on what size team you have and who you're paying and what all that looks like, you know, that could get really stressful too. So it's just finding ways to trim the fat and, you know, okay, here's my return, but how can I better that return next time? Okay, well, maybe if I, instead of wholesaling this, I flip it. Okay, so now, you know, something I could have got 10 grand for, now I'm going to get 55 grand granted two months later, you know. But now, again, even with flipping, you make 55 grand on it, but now you got to find the next house to flip and the next house to flip. So, you know, ultimately, cash flow is how you create generational wealth. And, you know, whether you want to go for single family, multifamily, you know, everybody has their niche, Airbnb. I mean, the list goes on. But I quickly realized that business acquisitions is better, far more lucrative, and it's the same amount of work. So if I'm going to put time and energy into finding a seller to sell seller finance, you know, do I want to do it for a rental that's going to cash flow $600 a month, or do I want to do it for a business that's going to cash flow $6,000 a month?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's either somebody wants to go to that corporate structure or not, like you want to do businesses in it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man. What about the retail side? You know, you're focused on your broker's license. How's retail going these days? I know there's a bunch of new things we've been put in place and this and that. How's it looking?
That's right. So, I mean, honestly, I had my realtor's license, but I had it largely for convenience, right? I see a house on the MLS because there are deals on the MLS. You know, people say there is not, but if I see a house on the MLS, I can go and look at the house whenever I want. If I'm driving past it and I see it and it's interesting, you know, I'll pull it up on my phone. Boom, I have access in a few minutes. Versus the traditional realtor or agent where it's, you know, you're showing people houses and you're looking at 10, 15 houses or whatever. That really wasn't my speed. You know, I got my license. So I said, okay, I'll list some properties, you know, friends, families, flippers, things like that. People I just come in, across, in general, you know. But getting my broker's license, I wanted to get that because I felt like I was leaving low-hanging fruit. I have this skill set to find off-market properties. I have the negotiation skills as an investor, but I wasn't applying any of that towards the traditional real estate. So I figured if I can get my brokerage license and I can get a solid handful of agents that I really vibe with, we have the same goals, I can mentor them, give them leads on the retail side and let them, show, houses to buyers or even list houses and let them get those commission checks. You know, they're smaller, but they still can change somebody's life, you know, $8,000 commission check, $5,000, whatever that looks like. It's life changing to somebody who's, you know, maybe making $15 an hour, you know, part-time somewhere. So that's my goal now by opening the brokerage is I can still focus on my investing ventures, right? But now I can mentor good people and change their lives and give them the opportunity on the retail side. And then as their broker, you know, we would share in that success.
I like that philosophy, man. You help people get out of the rat race, essentially.
Right, exactly.
Or let them do their thing and build their business. That's cool, dude.
Yeah. Since joining this entrepreneurship journey and investing and, you know, all this stuff that I've learned, it's not just about real estate investing, but, you know, business and entrepreneurship and tax write-offs and, you know, make your own schedule, which sometimes is amazing and sometimes is detrimental. Right. But at the same time, I could never go back to working a 9-to-5. And when I see friends and families doing that, they're driving to their job and they're sitting in traffic and they're not getting paid while they're sitting in traffic, you know, and they're clocking in and, okay, can I take a lunch now and clocking out? And again, you know, for whatever amount, whether you're making you know, $15 an hour or you're making $150 an hour, you still have somebody else telling you what your time is worth. And that time is only worth that while you're clocked in. So if I can, you know, open their mindset, because you don't know what you don't know. So if I can open their mindset and show them the ways of, you know, real estate or investing or entrepreneurship, whatever that looks like, I'm definitely going to do it every time.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. You know, something I wanted to ask you with you talking about retail real estate, getting your broker's license, being an investor, doing some wholesale or whatever, like to us, the lines aren't blurry, but sure, to some people they are, you know, mm-hmm. We all are, right? They're like, oh my gosh, you can't wholesale. You can't pitch this. You can't do this and be a realtor. How do you combat that? How do you feel about it? What kind of, I mean, everything about that. I'd love to hear your perspective.
Sure. So, I mean, just like in any industry, there's good apples and there's bad apples, right? First and foremost, you know, there's wholesalers, there's ethical, non-ethical, unfortunately. But as far as retail and wholesaling and realtor and license and all that stuff, it's not that difficult for me because honestly, the target audience that I'm approaching for wholesaling, flipping, sub two, whatever that looks like, is a completely different demographic than I'm going for as far as listings go. So for me, it's personally easier. But even then, I do come across situations and I just make it very clear. I say, here's all the services we provide, except now, instead of just listing my realtor services, I include my investor services. But I make it very clear, you know, we have these two options. If we go this way, I'm acting as an investor, you know, not a realtor. It's, you know, here are the offers, basically. Or if we go this way, now I'm going to be acting as your realtor. And, you know, here's what that could look like as well. And I give them the full transparency. I show them comparable market analysis. So, you know, if they really do just want a quick, easy cash closing, you know, then that's their choice. But they knew, you know, what the market could possibly bring if they made those updates, if they repainted or they installed that carpet and made those changes to the property. Sometimes they want to do that and sometimes they don't.
Yeah. How do you feel about, you know, listing wholesale deals on the MLS?
So I don't really have an issue with it, honestly, because at the end of the day, I've done novation deals too, right, personally. And at the end of the day, it comes down to helping the seller. So if you approach this seller and they had a property that's not in the greatest of condition and it does need work, like most wholesale deals, you know, do, you know, a lot of people frown on wholesales and it's like, okay, but that house is bringing down the value of your neighborhood. And unless you're going to go dump 50 grand into it or 100 grand into it, you know, how can you say anybody's doing anything? So if that seller says, hey, I want 100,000 for my house and the wholesaler agrees to give them 100,000, as is in the current state and condition, you know, that's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. And I see you wearing a Club Two hat. Also.
That's right. Yeah. And so if anybody is interested in joining Sub Two, they need to call me first and I'll give them the full rundown on it. It definitely changed my life. So.
Yeah, I like those folks. They invited me up to speak at one in PA, I think. And it's the first time I've been in that room. And I was like, man, the energy is just different.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, one of the biggest things, I mean, besides learning strategies and whatnot, I think one of the biggest things about Sub 2 that I really enjoyed and I think has made a difference in my entrepreneurial journey and success is they really, really, really stress on collaboration over competition, like squatting up, you know, don't compete with each other, work together and take down more deals, you know. People only have so much time in a day, right? So, and you have life as well. Well, some people at least. So, you know, maybe one person can cover down while the other one can't, or maybe you're really good at underwriting and finding deals, but you can't close them or dispo them, or maybe you can only do one of those four things. You know, there's the list goes on, but I've been blessed to squad up with some amazing people, and I've definitely done far more deals squatting up and having that, you know, 50% of a watermelon is better than 100% of a grape attitude.
Yeah, love that, man. And there's all different skill levels listening to this. You know, I guess for people getting started, you know, they're like, man, what the hell is this dude talking about? How do we find people that talk this language? Like, where would they find these people that could, they could squat up? They could find some groups, you know, local, or what do you suggest?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, they need to follow me on Facebook, right? Manny C Buys Houses. So that's step number one. And I'm always posting good content about everything, about life, about my health, about, you know, entrepreneurship and investing. And dude, almost everybody on my friend list, Nicole included there, is all like-minded people, and, you know, we're all going to achieve the same thing. So they find some dope people on my Facebook for starters, but yeah, investing groups, and look up whatever investing groups are in your area, or groups in general, and just get out and network and see who people are and what they do. And you never know who you're going to meet.
Cool. And you know, you've kind of done all of it. You've done the retail, you're about to do the broker thing. You've done wholesale, you've done flips, you've had rentals, you know, you figured out what good and bad, which is good lessons, good practice, whatever. You know, if you had to do it all over, if you did anything over, what would it be? How would you have started?
So I would have started back in 2009 when I first heard of wholesaling. So that's what sucks. That's what hurts me in my core, is I actually heard about wholesaling back in 2009. You know, I lived in South Florida. We're like number one or number two in foreclosures in the nation. And I always saw these street signs, bandit signs, right? You know, make 20 grand without ever buying a house and all this stuff. And I thought, you know, scams, right? Scams. And, you know, I met one guy that was doing it. And this dude, he looked, and never judge a book by its cover, too. I've learned that. But he, at the time, you know, he looked very shady. And I was asking him about it, and he didn't articulate it well. You know, he's just like, yeah, the paperwork, and then you make 20 grand. And I'm like, so what? You just steal somebody's house and then now you make 20? Like, I don't know, man. I don't want anything to do with it. So I would have done it back then. But no, in all seriousness, no. And if somebody is just getting started, I say to take action and literally just get started and fail forward and, you know, learn with others. Like I said, squat up, you find a deal, give it to somebody else to do everything, and you just follow along. You make a little money on it. You know, sure, you're not getting rich, but now you know how to do it next time by yourself. Or maybe you do a few deals with that person, but definitely take action. I can't tell you how many investors I speak with on the retail side, where they want me to find them deals on the MLS, rentals or whatever that looks like, BRRRs. And I say, okay, so what got you into real estate? And, you know, what are your goals? How long have you been interested? And so I've been interested, you know, 2 or 3 years. And I said, okay, well, how many deals have you done? And they said, well, none. Do you know how much money you could have made in the last 2 or 3 years? Why haven't you done anything? And they said, well, you know, I wanted to make sure I knew everything. I wanted to make sure I knew everything so that that way, if something happened, you know, I knew what to do. And that's the wrong answer, because you're never going to know everything. You know, I've read dozens of books. I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of hours of podcasts. And when I did my first flip, guess what? Stuff happened that wasn't in any of those books and weren't on any of those podcasts. And I just had to figure it out in real time. And then, okay, that flip was successful, made $52,000. On my next flip, guess what? I didn't make those same mistakes, but guess what happened? some new stuff popped up, right? Again, not in any of those books and not in any of those podcasts. And I would have never learned it if I wasn't out there just doing it. So if you're just getting started, take action, surround yourself with like-minded people, not naysayers. You know, that's another thing, you know, myself included, people value the opinions of others who have never done it or don't know. You know, all they know is the traditional way of life and clock in and 9 to 5. So, you know, why would you ask stock advice from somebody who's never owned a stock in their life? Why would you ask, you know, rental advice or real estate investing advice from somebody who's never had a rental and who doesn't even own their own home? You know what I mean? They're just going to be negative. They're just going to be naysayers, and they're going to bring you down even if you did the research and you were confident. But just that little voice was enough to force you not to do it. So surround yourself with like-minded people and just take action and figure it out.
I love them. And how would you suggest that they want to take action, right? They're like, man, I just heard this dude. He's got me fired up. What do they do? Like, how are they going to find a deal? And I agree with you. You said, hey, find a deal, give it to somebody. Cool. But how are they going to find that deal? What would you suggest?
Well, maybe they don't find a deal. Maybe they have a successful job and they have money. You can get in. I promise you, you can get into any deal if you have money, because every deal requires money, right? So maybe you find a deal. Maybe you provide funding for a deal. Maybe you are the connector between two people. There's lots of ways. So I guess I would ask that person to sit down and think, what can they provide now? What do they think they could provide now? Do they have time to look for deals, either by driving around, driving for dollars? That's where you drive and you look for ugly houses in nice neighborhoods. Do they have time for that? Do they have money for gas for that? Do they want to sit and just call lists that, you know, somebody gives them? That's very monotonous. It's not very fun. Are they going to enjoy that? Or are they going to give up on that? So I would just find, what is their niche? What do they think they would like or that they can do? And then bring that value to somebody else who's missing that piece of the puzzle.
Hell yeah. I like that, man. Nicole, you're up. You got a question?
Oh, man.
So I think I started really catching my eye on your content when you were buying an Airbnb out of the country or something. So I'm just wondering, like, how do those rentals work for you? Do you manage those? And are you cash flowing a pretty good chunk on those since Airbnb has slowed down a little bit?
So that was Panama, the country of Panama. And we went to go look for an Airbnb. And the place we ended up getting, it's pre-construction. So we can't go and stay there for free yet, quite yet. But this particular place, when they're building it with Airbnb short-term rental in mind. So essentially for, I think it's like 12% more or something, they essentially rent out your Airbnb unit and manage the whole thing. And then you just pay separate for cleaners, which again, they provide. So it's truly a hands-off turnkey operation.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, appreciate you you coming on again, man, dropping tons of value. I know you mentioned your Facebook page. Where else can people find you?
Yeah, Instagram, same handle, Manny C. Buys Houses. But really, I'm the most active on Facebook. And then, you know, my phone number, I'm always down. Somebody text me. Any questions, 706-691-2030. And like I said, Sub2 has changed my life. So if anybody is thinking about joining, you know, don't join blindly. Let me give you a heads up on what the community is really about. So always reach out to me beforehand, and I'm glad to go over any questions they may have.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks again, brother, and you have a good evening.
Thank you so much for listening today.
Later.
If you enjoyed what you heard, please refer a friend. It would mean the world to me. And also, if you'd like to learn more about real estate investing, go to www.exclusivehousinginvestors.com. If you're interested in joining the Mastermind group, email me at travis@exclusivehousingtexas.com.